So the Rambam says when Hilchos Teshuva, that person has to teshuva on his bad midos. So bad midos is not something that's optional. It's not something that it's a nice thing. The Rambam says you have to teshuva when a person gets angry, even if no one knows that you're angry. Midos. The Rambam says you don't have to do teshuva for insulting someone. He says you have to do teshuva for the bad midah. A person has gaiva, no one knows your arrogance, no one knows your anger. But a person has to do teshuva on those midos. A person has a chiv to have good midos. And the Gra says in Mishlei, and this is also a tremendous Gra, the Gra who knew Kol Tarakula says that the tachas of a person's life is to break his midos. The tachas of a person's life is to break his midos. Sorry? I think it's a Parak Yomel. Show you. But the Gra says the tachas of a person's life is lishbur midaisav, and he says a very strong lashon. If not, if a person doesn't break his midos, lama lo chaya. Why is a person alive? If a person doesn't break his midos, there's no purpose to his life. A person can sit and learn Torah day and night, but if some reason did not hit on the importance of midos, then it's a chaval, it's a waste. The Gra says the purpose of everything is a person to break his midos. Keeping that in mind, Rav Chaim Vital says that a person when he goes to Shemayim is going to be judged on his midos by what? What's the barometer? It's going to be judged by how he treats his wife. The Chaim Vital says that when a person goes to Shemayim, they're going to judge his midos, and they're going to just judge him by how he treats his wife. The Chaim Vital is very difficult. On the surface, it's hard to understand. A person is going to be judged by how he treats his wife. How much time? A busy person, how much time is he home? Most of the time, he might even spend more time with his fellow workers and his boss more than he spends with his wife. Why is Rav Chaim Vital saying he's going to be judged by how he treats his wife? Also, it's not fair. I mean, it's the whole day. You should be judged by a wife and by judged by how you treat everyone else. Why is Rav Chaim Vital saying that a person's only judged by how he treats his wife? So I think the pshat is simple. That midos is not about, when we discuss midos, it's not about saying good morning to someone. Of course, that's important. It's not about being friendly to people. Of course, that's important. Midos is about the person's inner self. It's about the person, what's going on inside themselves. A person's inner self is only discovered through marriage. It only comes out in marriage with his wife. When it comes to our friends, when it comes to our acquaintances, it's a whole different ballpark. And I'll explain why. When it comes to a person's wife, the true inside of the person comes out. And that's where a person's judged. A person can be Mr. Popularity. And there are many such people. We don't know what goes on in people's houses. But there are many such people that are Mr. Popularity. Oh, so geschmack, and they're so friendly, and they're so generous, and they're lousy husbands. And they're not real Balmidos, and they're not really good people. There could be another person that doesn't come across as Mr. Popularity, and is an excellent husband. And that's a true Balmidos. And that's where a person's going to stand. That's what's going to stand on how he treats his wife. Why is it that when it comes to marriage, a person's judged on his midos, and when it comes to his friends, it's a whole different ballpark. So number one, a few different things to think about. First of all, when it comes to a person's wife, you can't walk away. Many times you're in a fight. You know, before I got married, I thought like, marriage is me a cinch. I didn't have any fights with my friends. I had annoying roommates, and I was able to keep peace with them. I was able to get along with them. I thought marriage, it's not such a big deal. And then when I got married, I realized like I'm such a balgaiva, such a balkas. I realized all my weaknesses once I got married. Many people realize their weaknesses after they get married. A few different reasons. First of all, a person can't walk away. When you're upset with your friend, you're upset with your roommate. A person's upset with his boss. So you stay away from him. You're angry with him. So you stay away from him that day. He doesn't even realize you didn't talk to him too much. You just stay away. If you're real tzaddik, you're real balmidas. So you stay away from him. You're really angry with him. You stay away from him. You don't scream at him. You stay away from him. You walk away from him. Person can't walk away from his wife. You're home. Can't walk away. Can't avoid it. Number two is you can't fake. This is a very important thing. Is you can't fake it. When with your friends. If you're a real tzaddik again, so you're angry with your friends, you smile, good morning, how you doing? And inside you want to kill them, but you put on a good show. With a person's wife, there's no way a person can fake it. There's no way a person can fake it. First of all, it's almost impossible for a person to have that self-control to fake it. But even if he had the self-control to fake it with his own wife, his wife is going to be able to tell. There's no way he's not going to tell. How could a person leave the door angry at his wife or something, even if he has enough self-control not to tell her and not to scream at her for doing what she did? He's going to leave the house and say, I love you. Really love you. He's going to force it through his teeth. She's going to be able to tell. a lady is a very good intuition. If a person inside is upset with his wife, a person is angry, a person doesn't appreciate his wife, a lady could tell. All the thank yous, all I love yous don't mean anything if it's not inside. She'll be able to tell. You can't fake it. So a person, the only way for a person to be a good husband, he has no choice but to grapple with that inner self, with his anger, with those bad feelings, with his lack of appreciation, with the criticism. A person has to work on the inside. Outside is worthless when it comes to marriage. Also, marriage is a very intense relationship. A bacher, that's why any time I think about marriage, it's a waste. A person gets married, he's in a very intense relationship. There's a lot of love that's required to have a happy marriage. With friends, you don't need a lot of love between, there's nothing really that much required between friends. It's a very superficial relationship. Yeah, I like you, everything's good. It's not such a deep relationship. With marriage is a very intense relationship. It's a very delicate relationship. And there's a lot required. And if you don't have it, if you're a little bit upset with her, if a lady's upset with her husband, if there's a little bit missing, it really hurts. It's a lacking in the marriage. You need a lot to have a good marriage. And also, we're very sensitive. Because it's such a delicate relationship, people are very sensitive to what their wife says. Most people are sensitive to what their wife says, and certainly the wives are sensitive to what their husbands say. If you say the wrong thing, your friend, all right, you insulted him by accident, he'll get over it. If you say the wrong thing, the person says the wrong thing to his wife, he could deeply hurt her. Deeply hurt her. And the person has to be very careful not to hurt his wife. Gemara says above Metzia that a person has to be very careful not to hurt his wife. And also, on the opposite, when a person's wife does something that he's not happy with, if a wife doesn't give him the respect he of course deserves, if a wife doesn't treat him the way he wants, then he's also sensitive. And it's very hard for him if a person's wife does something he doesn't like, it really hurts him. So a friend does something you don't like, it doesn't hurt you as much. A person's wife, even though she's not, you know, a Rosh Hashiva, even though she's not, you know, a wife is very important to a husband. And if a wife says something and it hurts him, he's very sensitive. So he has to deal with that. He has to deal with such a difficult relationship for a person to deal with properly. And this is also a very important thing, tremendous difference between marriage and any other relationship. And that's why we're judged by our marriage, is because we don't even realize this. But with our friends, in the back of our minds, we know that if we get angry and we say something stupid, they're not going to be impressed. They're going to not have respect. We're afraid. A person gets angry and is afraid. He's afraid to say something really nasty, because he knows the guy's going to think, you know, especially if he comes across as a nice person, yeah, he's going to be afraid. He's going to look bad. He's going to look terrible. If a guy gets very upset with his friend, he's going to look terrible. We don't think of this consciously. But for sure, when people are with their friends and with everyone else in the world, except for their wife, they are not themselves. There's a certain amount of fake, certain amount of pressure behind their back, in their heads, that they're not going to act a certain way. So they'll be very careful. Persons with his wife, that's right. As far as I know, a person's wife, they're their real self. People don't live a life of fake with their wife. With their wife, a person lets out his real self. He doesn't have that pressure of what his wife's going to think. You know, after the first few weeks of marriage, I think a person gets past it. His wife's going to think. His wife's going to know him. His wife's going to know everything about him. His wife's going to know him, and he's going to be himself. And he doesn't have that pressure to be on his best behavior. And there's so many wives that probably get, you know, I think if anyone, you know, a person would want to know what a person's about, his wife's the only person to ask. You can't ask her, but she's the only person that knows what a person's about. Till a person's exposed in marriage, there's no way to know how much of a balmidas that person really is. And just to focus on this point, a very important nakuda comes out over here, that we have to, our focus has to be to take care of our wives. Our focus has to be, that the most important thing to us has to be to take care of our wives. A person's judged by that. And I always remind myself this, that a person's judgment, this is what counts. So many times a person, for example, a person calls you up. So many people make this big mistake, and it's very relevant in our community. A person calls you up, imagine a person calls someone up on a Wednesday and says, "No, it's a friend of yours, he has a few kids, he says, can I come to Waterbury for Shabbos? I want a vacation, I want to see the community, can I come for Shabbos?" What happens is, this is just an example, but this happens so many times and puts a lot of strain, unnecessary strain on a person's marriage. Person feels pressure. The guy's asking him to come. He's embarrassed to say no. So he ends up going to ask his wife. Now, a person has to know his wife. Every wife is different. There's some wives have tremendous strength in having people. They love having people over the house. They love it. And some wives, for them, it's a pressure. Everyone's different. Everyone has to understand it's not a bad or good. Some ladies have other meat strong things. Some ladies are very strong on their davening. They're very strong on their other things. Every person's different. So a person go ahead, feels the pressure of his friend calling him, and then goes to his wife and says, you know, someone called me. Can they come for shots? So his wife says, it's very difficult. And he says, but how can I tell them no? The person responds to the pressure of how he looks. He's so interested in how he looks in other people's eyes. He'll end up hurting his wife, and he'll end up making his wife do something that she doesn't want to do. It's not her friend. And even if it's her friend, she's cooking. She's doing all the work. Big deal. It's such a mistake that people think that a man is such a baal chesed if he has a lot of people over his house. It's nothing to do with the man in a normal situation. The wife is doing everything. Of course you want them to come. You don't have to cook. If you had to cook, you might have thought twice of that. You've never been in your wife's situation. You've never been there. And you will never be there. So it's not fair to judge. Yeah, of course you want them to come. It's great. And you end up hurting your wife. The person's wife ends up getting hurt. And if she doesn't have the guests, you made her feel bad for not having them. Oh, how can we not have them? Our first focus has to be, what would my wife be happy with? If a guy calls you up, most of the time you shouldn't even tell your wife that they asked. If you don't think your wife's going to want it, don't tell them that she asked. Just tell them you don't think it's going to be good. You don't have to blame your wife. It's not going to be good. So they won't think that you're such a baal chesed. So they won't think you're such a tzav. And that's in your tzav. That's in you doing the right thing. Hashem's going to know in Shemai. I believe that many people are going to get much more schar in Shemai for not having guests than for having guests. It's very shy. There's some people that are, and then a husband says, no, I'm not going to put the pressure on you. I'm going to cook. Yeah, does your wife want you to cook? Does your wife want you to cook? There are some wives that say, oh, go ahead, if you cook, I don't mind. A wife doesn't necessarily want her husband cooking. Every wife is different. She doesn't want you cooking, so you make her feel that I'll do the cooking. She doesn't want you to cook. She doesn't want the people in her house. So much pressure for her. She needs to relax. She works all week. She's relaxed out. Everybody's different. It's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong. And it's about me, your wife, chesed comes to your wife. People think when it's your wife, it's not chesed. With your wife, it is chesed. That's the biggest chesed. It's chesed that's not going to get up in the New York Times. It's chesed that's not going to make you popular. It's real chesed. And Hashem knows. That's about chesed. Chesed is take care of your wife first. If your wife is happy to have guests, give all the help other people. Your wife has to be helped first. Your focus in life has to be that my wife should be happy. If there's a lack in Shalom Bayis, you can help the whole world. A guy can be in charge of Kiruv, and he'll do Kiruv, and he'll bring people to his house and carve thousands of people. If it's at his wife's expense, he's not doing the right thing. If it's at his wife's expense, he's not doing the right thing. Doesn't justify the fact he's doing the wrong thing because he's helping other people. Not at all. His wife is wife is first, everyone else is a far, far second. Far, far second. You know, some marshal, someone once told me that a guy goes to his rav and says, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I want to come to minyan in the morning. But there's a lady that I know that she has a nebuch. She's home alone with 5-6 kids, and it's very hard for her to manage with them. They're up early in the morning, and she has a hard time with them. So should I come to minyan, or should I stay home? Maybe I should go to the house. Maybe I should go to her house and help her. The Rav says, oh, I don't know. She really needs your help. And then he says, you know, by the way, it's my wife. Everyone perceives chesed as in someone else's house. Chesed is in your house. If a person would just work on himself to take care of his own wife and own kids, don't worry about everyone else. Eventually, he'll take care of everyone else. Your wife is hers. Chesed is on your wife. No one should ever do chesed on their wife's cheshbon. And water bread is a tremendous nesayim. It's tremendous. Water bread has its own specialness, I believe. And what, you know, I feel the pressure sometimes. There's a certain pressure that a person could feel, or a certain person might feel to have bach. I give a shir, so I have a certain pressure that, you know, what are the bach going to say if I don't have them over? It's very easy to have a pressure. You see, other people are having a lot of guests. This is a very beautiful community where people are having guests. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. There's a certain pressure that comes out and people copy. Oh, he's having guys. And then they feel pressure to have, and they relay that pressure in some way to their wife. And they end up hurting her. They could end up hurting her. It's not kedai. It's not kedai all the they could not kedai all the brachim all year. That a person should go ahead and end up hurting his wife. You want brachim, you want people over your house because you like having people over. It's on your wife's cheshbon. It's not right. It's not right. If your wife wants it, she wants it. She doesn't want it, you shouldn't even worry that. You have to know how to remove the pressure off yourself. You have to know how to remove the pressure off yourself. You know? It's not people will survive without you having them over for Shabbos. The Bachman will survive without you having them over for your meals. It's not that. So you won't be Mr. Popularity. You know, so you won't have a party with all your friends. You won't have a party with all your friends. Your wife is first. Is a far first. That's real chesed. That's the real chesed l'shem shemayim. That's l'shem shemayim. When a person takes care of his wife, it's l'shem shemayim. No one knows how you take care of your wife. That's l'shem shemayim. How you take care of your friends, how you take care of everyone else. There's every person does l'shem shemayim when it's with someone else. Because l'maisa, they're getting kishmak, they're getting benefit. When you go ahead, everyone wants to go run and, you know, everyone wants the everyone looks at chesed, you know, if someone needs my help, they'll run. Because well, people run to do chesed, it's easier to run to do chesed because you feel good about yourself. And other people recognize how good you are. It's about chesed. Guy calls you up. This is the whole parasha. Someone calls you up, you know, Friday afternoon. They need you to give a ride. They need you to pick you up from the train station. It's just a big deal. You can go out for 15, 20 minutes to pick them up. Tell your wife, I have to go. You have to use your head. Can someone else go pick them up? Does my wife need me right now? Don't worry that other people, if it's a pekuach nefesh, if someone is really stuck, okay. Sometimes you have to, there are places where a person should not listen to his wife. But in a general situation, it's a matter of chesed. Chesed is with your wife first. Chesed can only be done when it's not on your wife's schedule. If the guy's stuck, he's going to be stuck there for Shabbos, all Shabbos, so maybe it's taki kedai to infringe on your wife. But if there's no reason to infringe on your wife, so you call someone else, okay, you know, you have to get picked up, you know, let me call someone else to get picked up. Oh, you're not going to look good because how come you didn't go pick me up? You're not going to look good. Life's not about looking good. Life is not about looking good. You can look really good. A person can look really good. Really, really good. When it comes to Shemayim, he's going to look really, really bad. Really, really bad. And each person should not look what other people are doing. First of all, what someone else does, what's good for him, is not necessarily good for you. That's number one. When you look at other people, each person should not look at other people. Because what does someone else have to do with you? What's good for him might not be good for you. Not only that, what's good for him might not be good for him. What someone else does is not always right. I'm not saying you should look at other people and say they're doing wrong. Everyone's different. They might be doing right also. But not necessarily either. There's no rise you can bring from other people. No rise at all. I'll speak at one other thing and stop. Next time. But also, we have to realize the purpose of marriage is to work on amidas. This is the purpose of marriage. Marriage is about. I heard from Rabbi Daniel Kalish, a beautiful var. It says in the pasuk, v'simach es ishta. It says by shana rishayna, v'simach es ishta. You should be happy. You should make your wife happy. So Rashi brings down that some people translate it, you should be happy with your wife, and they're making a big mistake. It doesn't mean you should be happy with your wife. It means you should be happy. You should make your wife happy. V'simach es ishta means you should make your wife happy. Not you should be happy with your wife. So he brought out as a derech chosh. This is a very important insight. Marriage is not about being happy with your wife. It is, but not in the attitude. The attitude is, our attitude has to be v'simach es ishta, to make our wife happy. Our attitude in marriage is, our response in marriage is to make our wife happy. The purpose of marriage is to give. If a person is giving, always giving, saying thank you and giving compliments, and he's such a good husband, but it's always amanas, it's always on condition, yeah, and his wife should give him back. I give you, you should give me back. That's lacking in the hashkafa, that's lacking in marriage. A person has to focus, has to be taking care of his wife, regardless of what she gives him back. person's focus has to be doing for his wife, regardless of what it gets back. Marriage is not about being selfish, it's about being selfless. People can be very nice to their wives, the person has to do it for the right reasons, not just to get something back. Your wife doesn't treat you as well as you treat her, let's say. Your wife doesn't treat you as well, so what? It's not the purpose. The purpose of marriage, the goyim have that attitude, that's why the divorce rate is so high, because if marriage is about getting from your wife, if you're not happy with what you're getting from your wife, so get rid of her, makes sense. In Yiddishkeit, we'll discuss next time about Basher a little bit, but Yiddishkeit is about our responsibility to giving to our wives, and giving to our wives regardless of what they give us back. That's our focus. They don't give us back, we say thank you, we're so nice, we buy them things. They don't give up. That's being petty. It's being selfish. It's about being selfless. And fakirat, that's the purpose. And if a person's in a marriage where he's giving, and is giving a lot more than his wife gives, then that's what you're here for. Okay, Yaakov Metz, on some of Victor Miller says on tape, says a person has a difficult wife. He says I did that automatically. He said a person has a difficult wife. He says it's gewaldic. He says it's so lucky. That's the purpose. If a person has it easy in marriage, then Nebuch is losing the whole tachas. Nebuch, all right. No, Hashem gave it to him easy. That's not a bracha necessarily. The purpose is to grow. The purpose is to shine. When there's a challenge and when there's difficulty, that's the purpose. The purpose of marriage is to grow. The more difficult you find in the Gemara, as many people are very difficult wives. First thing, you know. I'm such a great person. Why do I get stuck with a person says, oh, I'm such a great guy. Could have gotten someone better. Your purpose is to give to your wife, and Hashem knows what's. I'll go into more next time by Sherat. But our job in marriage is to give to our wives, not to look what we get back. That we get. By the way, when we give to someone else, we get the most. It's we're shy. All right, we'll continue. All right. So we're talking last week about avoiding machlokas, and we said how many of the machlokas that disrupt shalom bayis start with a small comment, start with a small, you know, insult, and then the spouse, and say the husband, then the husband responds. But if he would have just kept his mouth quiet, and he would have just, you know, controlled himself, then the whole machlokas would have been avoided. And even his wife, who said something, a little bit insulting, didn't really mean 100% what she was saying. And when she calms down, you know, everything will be all right. We said over from the chida that it's a tremendous kapara. The biggest kapara a person can get is when a person's insulted and he's quiet and he's maichel. So, in the same way, the mashal is, kas is a mashal to a fire. I hate to bring a riot from the tzedukim or whatever the group was that they, you know, on Shabbos, they were, they, who was it?
Quran.
Quran. Some people that they were makmi not to get angry on Shabbos because of lo yisvaru ish, b'chomosh v'seichem. So, they're wrong, but maybe they're a little bit right. That the kas is really an ish. Kas is mamash similar to a fire. And there's a one person, we're always talking from to the husband, so the wife puts out the stick of fire, and it's up to us whether we can let the fire go out or we can fuel the flame and make it grow and make it worse. And the same thing, by the way, is with a bigger fire. And even if there's a tremendous machlokas, even if there's a tremendous reason why a wife, let's say, has a taina on a husband, and even if there's a big issue, not just, you know, you forgot the cucumber. Even if there's a big issue, also it's like a fire. And even if it's a tremendous fire, but if it's not fueled and has no food, it's gonna eventually calm down. It's gonna eventually go out. But if we make a mistake and get aggravated and answer back and fight back, so it's just gonna prolong the fire and just make it worse. It'll take longer until it goes out. And I want to point out over here also, a person has to, it's important to say, a person, we have to not be so sensitive. People are very, very sensitive. And a person should not be sensitive. Don't be sensitive. This is a chiddush, I think, that I say that. I told the Bachram, I say, I'm very nervous about some Bachram. Everyone thinks it's such a great mile to be a sensitive person. It's such a great mile to be a sensitive person. And it is a mile to be a sensitive person. What does it mean, a sensitive person? So we're usually when you discuss a sensitive person, someone asks you about a shidduch, he's very, very sensitive. So what are you saying? You're saying that the person is very careful not to... Usually you're saying he's sensitive to other people, he's careful not to hurt someone else, he's very delicate, he's very ill. It's a very good thing. But also, in a naturally sensitive person, why is a person so sensitive to other people? Because he understands how sensitive he is. And this is the way in every midah, that the person's sensitive to others because usually he's very sensitive himself. And he understands if someone slights him a little bit, he gets hurt. So therefore he's very careful in how he treats others. Usually most people, the way they treat others is the way they are for themselves. This is a very important thing to understand, especially when it comes to judging other people, judging our spouses. The din of being Dan Adam Kavschutz, one of the tremendous thoughts a person should have is that a person comes over to you and asks you for a favor. And you think it's like, it's a chutzpah, they're asking you for so much, how do they expect it from you? Usually that person would have no problem if someone asked them for that favor. People always, you know, project their own feelings and they assume everyone else thinks the same way. That's the way we are. We always, you know, we always do things the way we think other people, the way we feel, we think that other people are going to feel the same way. So usually a person that's very sensitive to others is very sensitive to himself. And that's a tremendous smile to be very sensitive to other people. The problem is, what happens to this person when he gets insulted? What happens to this person when he gets hurt? The more sensitive the person is, the more pain there is there. And unless he's a real Baal Midos, unless he really worked on himself, so that means there's more danger for lashing back. There's more danger for chaos. There's more danger for tremendous chaos. So as much as being a sensitive person, the way it's referred to as a milo, it's also a danger. It's a potential chesar. It's not necessarily a milo. You see, oh, he's so sensitive, he's very careful not to hurt other people. I don't trust him for a shidduch yet. I want to see him get insulted. I want to see someone insult him. Many times the most sensitive guy, if you insult him, he's very angry. And usually the guy's too idle to say anything. Maybe he's too idle to say anything, because usually he's an idle, he's not going to say anything. But inside the guy's burning, burning mad. So just because he's too weak, and just because he's too idle to say anything, doesn't make him good for a husband. Because if he's carrying all that anger inside, and he's carrying all that pain inside, how is he possibly going to treat his wife with love? How is he possibly going to treat his wife properly if he's carrying around all this pain and all this hurt because his wife accidentally, you know, insulted him, or his wife, you know, didn't give him the respect that he deserves, and because he's so sensitive to the way someone else thinks of him. A person has to work on himself. If a person's naturally sensitive, it's a tremendous smile because he understands that someone else's pain, because he has the pain himself. But he has to keep that sensitivity to other people. For himself, he's got to work on not being sensitive. Don't insult me. A guy that's not sensitive, it's every person has to work on the other side. If a person's not a sensitive person, so he has an advantage in being a husband. Because his wife insults him, big deal, he ignores it. Yeah, get all insulted, get all angry. Big deal, so she called me stupid, so she called me irresponsible, so what? I know what I am, I'm fine. So I have to work on this other. Big deal, she insulted me. But he has to work on being sensitive to his wife. And he has to think that maybe my wife is more sensitive than me. Just because I'm insensitive, usually ladies are more sensitive, but not always. Sometimes the husband's more sensitive. But usually the lady's more sensitive, so he has to realize that don't portray yourself on her. Maybe she's more sensitive. Be very careful not to insult her. But that's the insensitive person has to work on assuming that his wife is very sensitive. And a person who is a very sensitive person, so has to work on not being so sensitive. It's a very dangerous me in a marriage to be so sensitive. And seriously, I get nervous when I see Bachim that are very sensitive. Because what's going to happen if the wife accidentally insults him a little bit? The guy's going to be all broken inside. A broken guy is not going to be the husband. Because when you're broken inside, you're angry. You're hurt. How can you treat your wife properly if she was the one that broke you? If she was the one that insulted you? It's not going to work. A person has to not be so sensitive. Be tough. Be a man. Take it. Don't get all sunk, you know. Someone said that if a person's wife is yelling at him, insulting him, he shouldn't get so upset and get so insulted. He said, imagine if one's child. Imagine if one's child, you know, it's good, I'm not talking to ladies here. Imagine if one's child, one's daughter, one's son is young. Tata, you're so mean, you're not taking me to the park, you know, you're so mean, I hate you. You know, the kid goes on and on and on. You don't get all insulted. You understand, he's a child. So too, if a person's wife is really giving it to him over the head, doesn't mean you should get so crazy. Doesn't mean you should be insensitive, you should feel bad for her. You should feel bad for her pain. But don't take everything personally. It's not a good trait. It's not a good habit taking personally. It's just dangerous. It's not healthy. Don't take it so personally. If your Shiva hits you over the head, if your Rebbe hits you over the head, take it personally. If your wife hits you over the head, try to take it in perspective. Don't get all in this fall, don't get all crazy. We have to talk about a very difficult issue here. We've been discussing trying to avoid.
Yeah. How do you work on yourself not to be like so insulting?
How to be so sensitive?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Well, you know.
I don't know if you
want to
discuss it now.
No, it's a good question. But I think a lot of it's a mental attitude. Just try to tell yourself, "Don't be such a baby." I'm good.
Think about
yeah.
People aren't as important as I should have. Like a question.
Yeah.
You're saying, what if people insult you?
Right. The point is like this. A person realizes when a person is getting insulted, it doesn't define you as a person. If someone calls you stupid, someone calls you irresponsible, it doesn't define me as a person. The person's upset at me now, so the person's saying things. The person has to try to just block it over his head. I don't know how a person just try to. I hear a lot of times, you know, even a bacha or someone, you know, I get an insult or a chutzpah coming my way. I just try to let it, like, you know, slide over my head. You don't have to try. You don't have to listen to everything. You don't have to take it to heart. Every person has a choice to take the words to heart and think about it. Oh, the person said this, the person that. Or just leave it off. Just leave it where it is. Don't bring it in. Don't bring it into your ears. Don't bring it into your heart. It's something just to practice. Just tell yourself. Don't be so sensitive. Don't. You're a good guy. You're fine. So someone insulted you. So that person's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Person's wife is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're upset. Yeah. You know. Don't try. Just try. Just an attitude. Just don't get so insulted. Don't be so sensitive. It's not good. It's not healthy. It doesn't make a good husband if a person's so sensitive. And a lot of times a person can make up his own. I find a lot of things a person makes up his own ways of working on things. A person finds his own things that he thinks to himself, why shouldn't be insulted? Why shouldn't be so sensitive? I'll get to in a minute where it really comes into play. Let's discuss. We've been discussing till now avoiding machlekes and trying not to let a machlekes get rolling. Let's talk about now one of the hardest issues for a husband is resolving machlekes. Resolving machlekes that's already in play. You felt either you messed up and you got into a machlekes, or your wife's angry at you and you have no idea why. But there's a machlekes here. There's a machlekes already here. So one of the hardest things for any human being to do is to apologize, is to say they're sorry, is to say they're wrong. Every person, I think, has trouble with it. Some people, mamish, it's like pulling out teeth. It's very difficult for a person to say they're wrong. It's very difficult for a person to say they're sorry. You know, the first year of the yeshiva, I was giving musar, and I said, even if a person's in a fight with his wife is upset with him, and he really didn't do anything wrong, so I said he should still apologize. He should say he's wrong. So this bacher, what do you mean? You're supposed to say you're wrong if you weren't wrong. So I don't know. I didn't recommend any shidduch. How could you say you're wrong if you're not wrong? A person's got to notice saying he's wrong. Even when he's not wrong. And the truth is, even when you think you're not wrong, you probably are wrong. And you might only be 2% wrong. She might be 98% wrong, you might be 2% wrong. But a shtickle wrong, you usually are. You usually still go wrong. There's usually something there that made her upset. Maybe she did more than to you, maybe she got over it. Maybe she's 98% of the wrong, maybe 99.9. Usually there's a 0.01%, there's something where you're wrong. And even if it's 100%, which you'll never know because you're in the Gei Avodah Zarah, still you say you're wrong. And many times, by the way, you're 98% wrong, and she's 98%, she's the one that's right. And you think you're right. Listen to the amazing Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yod. It says, Vayakam Moshe Vayakal Dasam Avir. It says by the parasha of Korach, the plea of the Gemara, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says by Korach. Now Korach gathered a whole gathering against Moshe Rabbeinu. They said nasty things. it says, they said nasty things about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says they were makana their wives. Right before the Gemara says, Vayikana l'Moshe v'machana, they were makana their wives. Makana means they warned their wives, don't hang out with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is chaysh suspect on a rise. This is the chutzpah they had to Moshe Rabbeinu. That they were makana their wives, said, stay away from Moshe Rabbeinu. Make sure to stay away from him. That's the chutzpah, that's the insult they put down on Moshe Rabbeinu. And right afterwards, the pasuk says, it says, so here you have machlokes with Korach, Dathan and Aviram. Dathan and Aviram were the two, Dathan and Aviram were the biggest troublemakers, gave Moshe Rabbeinu constant aggravation. Dathan and Aviram were the ones that tried to Moshe Rabbeinu kill. They're the ones that went to Paro. Dathan and Aviram, throughout the years that Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader, and even before, they were Moshe Rabbeinu's biggest pains. What does it say? Vayakom Moshe v'yelchol Dathan v'Aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to go to Dathan v'Aviram to make shalom, to make peace. Moshe Rabbeinu picked himself up the Gadol Adar under a tremendous abuse, and it was all wrong. It was all wrong. It was all disgusting. It was all wrong. And he gets up and he goes to Dathan v'Aviram to make shalom. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Mikan, we learn it from here, She'ein machzikin b'machlekes. The person should not hold on to a machlekes. She'ein machzikin b'machlekes. The person should not hold on to a machlekes. Dama Rav, as Rav says, Kol machzik b'machlekes, anyone that holds on to a machlekes, Oiver b'lav. He's Oiver alav. Shenemar, as it says, V'lo yek karach l'chadasa. He should not be like karach and his aid. It says that from here you're not allowed to be machzik to machlekes. What does it mean to be machzik to machlekes? Machzik means to hold on to machlekes. If a person's wife is upset at him, and there's a machlekes between a husband and wife, if you don't go over and say you're sorry, if you don't go over and say you're wrong and apologize, you're a machzik to machlekes. You didn't start the machlekes necessarily. Could be you did, but let's say you didn't. But you're a machzik. You're holding on to it. This could be avoided. This machlekes could be over. No one could say that they're more right than Moshe Rabbeinu. No one could say they're more right than the machlekes Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. And the abuse that Moshe Rabbeinu took as a Gadol Hador is not normal. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and goes to them. He doesn't stand on his kavod, he doesn't stand on his honor, he goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu. This places a tremendous chiyuv on a husband, on us, to, if our wife's upset at us, to go over to her and say we're sorry, say we're wrong. The Gemara says in Brachas, Lamed l'shneich l'loymer eini yodeh, a person should teach himself to say, I don't know. It's hard for a person to say, I don't know. But you could say over, Lamed l'shneich l'loymer, a person should teach himself to say, I'm sorry and I'm wrong. Four very important words for a person to say. And by the way, once a person gets used to saying it, there's some people that can never say it their whole life. They're always in machlekes with their wife, and they always carry on machlekes such a long time. Maybe their wife finally learns that she's got to want to do it. But people carry on to such machlekes because they can't apologize. The machlekes in between families, the machlekes in between relatives. There's tremendous arguments in Klal Yisrael because people cannot have the, can't get over their gaiva. It's gaiva. A person says, I'm not a gaiva. I walk around and I bend over, and if people give me honor, I say, no, it's not true. I'm not really a tzaddik. A person walks around with such humility. Don't give me that aliyah. I don't want too much kavod. Person, people think there's such anava. What's a real test of anava? When a person wants to know if he's a real anava, if he could apologize when he's right. Well, apologize when you're wrong. Even bigger anava, apologize when you're right. Person has to learn how to apologize. And if a person practices, it gets easier. And if a person doesn't practice it, it just gets harder. The more a person gets stubborn in his ways of not being able to admit he's wrong, not being able to say he's sorry, just gets harder. And it's such a waste. It's such a chaval. There's so many issues and so many shalom bias things that go on for long times because no one has enough, you know, humility. No one has enough ability to say that he's wrong, that he's sorry. You know, they're not gonna print in the New York Times that you were wrong in this argument. You know, it's not gonna be that in the New York Times, they don't keep a track. All right, Kesselman 75, right. It's not portrayed in the New York Times how many times you were right and how many times you were wrong. No one knows. And when you say you're wrong, your wife is not, you know, gonna announce to the whole world you're wrong. It's not, all it has to do is, I don't know why it's so hard, but it is so hard. It's easy to say it now. But when you talk at a time where it's not Nageya, it's easy to drill it in. A person has to practice, a person has to always say he's sorry, he has to say he's wrong. And there's no excuse for not saying it. There's no excuse. No one can ever excuse themselves and say, "But I was right. I'm not gonna apologize. I'm very makbar and emes. I'm not gonna apologize." He's a chakra. It's a bagay. There's no excuse. There's no excuse not to apologize.
How do you do it sincerely?
Because you should find. It's a good question. A person should try to find an area where he's wrong. Try to find the area where you are wrong. You got too upset. You should have. I didn't realize. You know, find out why the. Of course, it should not just be. Oh, I'm sorry. It should not just be a fake. A person should try to make it real, like David said. Find the area where you are wrong. And sometimes if you have to apologize for something that there is no area that you're wrong. So do it anyways. Try to be sincere in terms of the fact that the other person sees it as a wrong. Even if you're not wrong, but just the fact that someone else sees it as a wrong, there itself there's room to say, I'm sorry I did this thing that hurt you. I am sorry. I'm sorry you're hurt. Was I wrong for doing it? Fine. I had no way I could have known this, that. Well, my son, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is the way things turned out. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry. And so it's always a hard thing to do. It gets easier, but it's still a hard thing to do. I want to speak of one more thing. We'll stop. This is a tremendous nekuda, and this is a person also I think might have difficulty with that the every machlokes, most machlokes them between a husband and wife, if it's of some level, if there's a real machlokes, what happens is the wife, we're always talking from the husband's point of view, this is a very tough shalom bias thing, because the wife's one day someone has to give the wife shalom bias thing, so we always, but it's really the husband's prize anyways. A good marriage is a good husband. That's what I've seen. A good marriage is a good husband. But if we're good husbands, by the way, you should know our wives will also become better wives. They'll learn from us. But tremendous nekuda here. Most times you look into a machlekes, what happens is there's a machlekes, the wife's upset the husband, the husband's upset the wife. So the wife's upset the husband, it goes on for a day and a half, 2 days. Somehow, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is, and then the wife says, and sometimes, by the way, there's a little machlekes where they're still talking, sometimes they're not talking, sometimes they're talking, but there's a certain, lack of closeness, a little, toughness. And then, after a few days, finally, the wife says, I'm really upset at you, because a few days ago, on Sunday, you forgot to take out the garbage, your face. I'm really sorry a few days ago that you didn't treat my birthday, as well as you should have. Of course, you got a card and a present. Otherwise, yeah, you're in big trouble. But talk about another time maybe. But you did something wrong. And usually, what happens? The wife goes over and the wife says something. It comes out. It might come out with a lashing, whip, harsh. And then somehow, that's the peak. That's the climax of the machlokas. And then afterwards, things start to come down. So it usually works, if I would make a diagram, you make something then it hits like a peak, finally the wife comes out with her proclamation, with her statement, and then I've noticed everything afterwards, all of a sudden, seems to get better. You didn't apologize, really. All of a sudden, somehow things get much better after the wife has finally expressed her problem. That's the way I think it works. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think it's pasha. If we want to avoid machlekes, and we don't want to be maxed for machlekes, we don't want to hold on to machlekes, we want to keep the machlekes as short as possible. Keep machlekes as short as possible. It shouldn't last too long. So this comes back to the first nekuda. If a husband goes over to his wife, he sees his wife's angry with him, he sees his wife's upset. So many of us are stubborn. We're all stubborn. We don't want to even ask our wife what we did wrong. What are some? What? So she's upset at me. For what? What I do? I'm so good to her. Upset at me. So I'm stubborn. I'm not going to ask her. I go 1 day, 2 days. I'm not asking her. I'm not going to ask her. I'll wait till finally she just calms down enough till she can spill the beans. By the way, usually once a person calms down a little bit, that's when they can talk. When the people are really angry, they can't even talk. Can't even express their upsetness. Go over if a person will go over to his wife and say, why are you upset? And she'll say, why am I upsetting you? You don't know? Go back. A few hours later. You know what? I really feel bad. I really, I shouldn't know. I shouldn't know. Why? Why? Yeah, yeah, no. A few hours later. She'll tell you. I'm really sorry. The machlekes can be over a few days early. A few weeks early. Could be over. A lot faster. Ask the wife why she's upset. Why don't we? Why does the person have a hard time? Because he's stubborn. I'm not sure what the nikud is exactly, but he's stubborn. He doesn't want to admit that he did something wrong. He doesn't even want to ask. He's stubborn. And also, you know, I don't know, most people don't like going over to someone and giving them a sledgehammer and say, here, smash me. Here, smash me. Many people are afraid of being smashed over the head. So he has to go over to his wife with a sledgehammer and says, what did I do wrong? So basically he's coming over and saying, here, smash me. Smash me. What did I do wrong? Smash me. That takes a real man. That takes a real tough guy. That takes a really tough guy to say, here, smash me. Very, very tough guy to do that. You're going to get smashed anyways, probably. But maybe figure, you know, you can't bring yourself to ask yourself to get smashed. Let her take a few days, then she'll do it on her own. Maybe she'll calm down and she'll get over on her own. You're just afraid to get smashed over the head. By the way, that's the best thing for Shalom Bayis. It's the best thing to end the machlokes, to get smashed over the head. Usually the machlokes ends shortly after that. But a person's afraid because he's sensitive. Because he can't handle criticism. We have to work on our confidence. Let us smash you over the head. It's easy to say, and I'm saying it anyways. That's something I have to work on also. Let us smash you over the head. Don't let you scream at you did this. Don't get, and that's, if you're going to get angry and you're going to scream at her back, then you can't do it. You got to go over, prepare, hands behind your back, smash me. I'm sorry. I heard his wife screaming from the kitchen, why did you do this? And before you even could hear what she said, he already had on his tongue, I'm sorry. Didn't make a difference what she was going to say. He already was prepared to say, not listening to what they're saying, you know, I'm sorry. But he's already prepared to say on his tongue before he even knew what she was complaining about. Like he's already, oh, I'm so sorry. He didn't figure out exactly what the problem was. He was just ready to say he's sorry. First is go over to his wife and say, what did I do wrong? I feel bad you're upset. Don't make this into, everything's always like a power struggle and a guy's struggle. If a person had real, of course easy to say, a person had real good mida, a person really had control of himself, I don't want you to be angry with me, I don't want to be upset at me, tell me what I did wrong, and then I'll smash you. And then after she finishes, I feel bad, I'm sorry, maybe you could explain a little bit. By the way, don't defend yourself. A person, many times a husband never can say he's sorry. Only can do is but I did this, but this. That's not saying you're sorry. A wife would rather hear I'm sorry without any excuses than your old excuses in the world. She wants you to hear. She wants to hear a husband who understands that she's in pain. It doesn't. Many times a lady can scream at a husband and he'll say, "Oh, I feel so, I'm very upset. I'm very sorry I hurt you." And the machlokes is over so quickly. She just wants a husband that just that feels bad for her pain. Defending yourself is the worst thing a husband can do. Sometimes there's a reason to, if it helps her understand, you know, why you didn't mean to hurt her. But just to defend yourself because what? Because you want to win the trial. You're not on trial. The trial is your ability to apologize, your ability to lose all the battles. And you're winning the greatest thing in the world. You're winning Shalom Bayis. A person has a way of avoiding machlokes, the way of getting over machlokes is go over to the person's wife, you know, and ask her what he did wrong. Smash over the head. Listen. Control yourself from getting all angry. Control yourself from getting all insulted. If a person would be less sensitive, he'd be able to do this. I think less sensitive people have an easier time with this. They're so sensitive. First, has developed confidence, developed security. I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. My wife is not, you know, it's not Hashem. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. Let me hear what I did wrong. And admit, by the way, a person who is strong, who has more confidence, can say he did something wrong. Only people that can't admit they did wrong are people that don't believe in themselves. People that are insecure, they can't say they're wrong because they feel that they're giving up their identity, they're giving up their lives. The person understands that he's a very important person, he's a very special person, very cautious person, so then he can admit, all right, I made some mistakes. I made a mistake. Yeah, it was terrible, I did that. All right, we continue.